This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely happy and delighted to be with you today. You know that we love to spend this time together having holy conversation. It is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. And I hope you can proclaim the same thing, because God has abundant blessings in mind for you. He wants you to receive them. He wants you to live in them. He wants them to live in you. And everything then that becomes a part of our day, that becomes a part of our activity, is blessed indeed. Sometimes those blessings are shrouded. Sometimes we don't see them right away. But then at night, when we begin to go through our little examine and we begin to perceive the blessings and ask the Holy Spirit to show them to us, oh my goodness, it's a magnificent tapestry that's occurred through the course of the day, all united by cords of grace. Isn't that lovely to think about? I like to think about life that way. Well, we certainly do want to hear about your life today right here on Women of Grace Live. So I'm encouraging you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Matt Kubensky on the phone for you, and he is eager to hear from you. He wants to receive your call and put it up on the board so I can address it. We'll welcome you. Yes, we will. Today, we're going to welcome you, if you're a first-time caller, with our virtual bell. Just a heads up to you, Jeff. Don't have a bell with me where I am, but I'll tell you, if I did, I would be ringing it. When you call in, but a virtual bell is going to do just fine today. So that's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I certainly do invite you to use the chat feature to put your questions or comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement in there. We'll receive them. Yes, we will. And again, I will address them and we'll see what's going on. All that being said, I do want to remind you that we invite you to go to our homepage at the beginning of the show. We've got all kinds of good things available for you there. We certainly do. We've got resources available for you. You can watch the television programs that we produce for Women of Grace Television at EWTN. In addition to that, our radio programs are archived there. We have all kinds of webinars. If you're a WOG exclusive member or a Women of Grace exclusive member, you can access those. We've got book clubs that you can participate in live, or you can view them online and, you know, do your own little book study with the book, you know, in light of what we've done in the past. We've got all kinds conference talks and conference retreat talks and all kinds of beautiful things available for you there. So I want to encourage you to get out there and to take a look. Certainly do want to encourage you, if you're not a Women of Grace exclusive member, I want to invite you to become one, because I'll tell you, it's really a great benefit. It's, you know, a very inexpensive amount of money, but that inexpensive amount of money to you is a big resource for us. It helps for us to continue our mission to transform the world one woman at a time. And I'll tell you, in this day and time, it's absolutely essential. It was interesting. I was talking to one of my gentlemen that I was interviewing a few weeks ago, J.P. Grant, and we were talking about marriage. We were talking about the reality of marriage in the world today. We were talking about why, if we want to see a real change in the culture, it all begins with this institution of marriage, which is why I think the evil one has strived so hard to attack it. And on the break, he looked at me and he said, "But you know, Johnette," he says, "in the end, it's really all about women." He said, "It's all about the woman." And he went on to explain to me what he meant by that. Well, you know, that was music to my ears, because we know that this mission to women is absolutely essential. I mean, women, you know, the woman happens to be God's linchpin. She really is. And you see that right at the dawn of creation, when Adam was in, as John Paul II, now saint, calls it, that original solitude. He was in the midst of the primordial identity crisis. He didn't know who he was. And then God created a woman. He said, "It's not good for man to be alone. He needs a helpmate." And so he created Eve. And as soon as Adam sees Eve, he cries out, "At last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You shall be called woman because out of your man you have been taken." You know, and it's an amazing thing if you just sit there and ask the Holy Spirit to shed light in your heart on that tremendous passage in sacred scripture that occurs in the second book of Genesis. It's just an amazing thing to contemplate. But why was Adam, you know, making that proclamation, "At last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh"? Well, it's because he found himself in her. When he saw her, not only did he see the reflection of himself, but he also saw who he was called to be: protector, provider, and leader. And she raised him up out of that original solitude and helped him to come into the fullness of who God was calling him to be. We know, unfortunately, that there were problems later on that we read about in Genesis 3, but just in that moment in Genesis 2, that we see as God's divine and holy plan. And then isn't it interesting if we move into New Testament times and we find there the new Adam and the new Eve? You know, in that situation, what happened? You know, in the first situation, Adam came first and then Eve. In the New Testament, you know, what happens there? You know, we see something similar to that in a sense, in that the Holy Spirit overshadows Our Lady, right? And she conceives by that overshadowing, by the fecundation of the Holy Spirit, and the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And in that sentence, in that moment, Mary encompasses the whole of mankind. She encompasses the one who is the Word made flesh. It shows her to be this one who encompasses all that God desires to do and to bring forth. And then we read in Galatians in chapter 4, verse 4, you know, Paul cries out and he says, you know, "In the fullness of time, God sent his Son born of a woman." So, you know, when you think about it, Our Lady, whereas Adam preceded Eve in the Old Testament, Our Lady precedes the Word made flesh. She's created first and she encompasses him. And so anyway, all of that being said, you know, if you go to the day and time in which we're living, you know, I think that the evil one, his attack against marriage, his attack against the family, his attack against woman, in general, this whole notion that we've got going on, this inane concept of the immutable reality of gender, you know, we see it's all an attack against the woman, and ultimately, what it is that the woman does. What did she do to that moment for Adam? She brought life to him. She brought psychological, emotional, and really spiritual life to him because he saw who he was to be. Right? And then our Blessed Mother brings our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And what happens? Salvation comes. And so the opportunity for restoration and renewal comes by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes by way of the fiat of the woman. And so it is in this moment that God is truly desiring to undo, through the action of the Holy Spirit working through instruments in this day and time, undo the damage that the evil one is bringing about in our world today. And that all has to do with the restoration, the understanding of who woman is. And so this mission, you know, of Women of Grace and these other outreaches to women, very essential, raised up by God for this time. And I've got more to tell you on the other side of the break, and I'm very eager to hear from you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We're standing by waiting for you. Sure are. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams, very happy to be with you today, always eager to hear from you. Let me give you that toll-free number to use if you're here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Matt Gubensky on the phones. Be sure to give him a big old howdy hey when you call in. He'll give you one back and he'll get you up on the board and we'll be able to address your questions. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, we invite you to use the chat feature. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will retrieve them and get them up on the board. So I just want to make one last point on what I was talking about before we went to the break. And I was saying, you know, the woman brings life, right? She brings life. And so she does that in every way. She does it by way of her spiritual maternity. We were talking about that, emotional, psychological health, helping, to raise man up to full stature in Christ Jesus. In addition to that, she does it by her biological reality, the capacity to bring another life into the world, whether it's realized or not. Perhaps her body doesn't cooperate with that opportunity, or perhaps her state in life doesn't. Maybe she's a religious woman. Maybe she is a woman who has chosen a single life, but in every case, woman is called to spiritual maternity. And we see that in our Blessed Mother. She brings life. She brings spiritual life into the world by way of her son. She brings physical life into the world by way of the fecundation of the Holy Spirit. So there you have that. In our day and time, the woman is called to do the same thing. And the evil one knows this. This is why he tries to stamp out the reality of who woman is. The institution for marriage, all centered around this reality. In addition to that, you know, he's striving today through technology and science to confuse us about basic matters. And this is an attempt. It's an attempt to bring death into the world and not life into the world. Sterilization by these lifestyles as opposed to fecundation by these lifestyles. So you kind of get the message that I'm making there. And so I want to invite all of that to say, our mission to women, we believe, is very important, and we are going to be in Boca Raton, Florida this Saturday. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm actually in South Florida right now in Fort Lauderdale, but I'm going to be there in Boca this evening, and I'm going to be there in Boca on Saturday for this beautiful, beautiful one-day Women of Grace retreat where we're going to be talking about healing the wounds of the heart. We're going to be looking at the mess that the evil one has tried to cause in our life and see how it is that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the maternal beatitude of Our Lady, wants to heal us and set us free. It is going to be powerful. How do I know that? Because we have gone through we have gone through painstaking effort to make this day possible. I mean that literally and in every other way. It says in Sirach, when you seek to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for battle or trial or sacrifice. Any number of words you see in the translations for the last part of that passage there. The fact of the matter is, my staff has experienced it. Our regional coordinators have experienced it. I've experienced it personally. I've experienced it just again this morning. But God has a plan. And all that says is that there are going to be abundant blessings, and we don't want you to miss out. We are thrilled with the number of women that have joined us and are joining us for this event. We do have room for a few more. You can register right online. We want you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Click on February the 4th. Click on this day. You can register right there. We have been making additional provision because we've had so many women signing up. And so we know we're going to get women walking up to the door. I was worried about it the other day. Are we going to have enough of everything? We are going to have enough of everything for every one of you. But don't wait to the last minute. Please do sign up and sign up today. Sign up tomorrow. Walk up on Saturday if you need to. It's going to be at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. Heed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and join us for this powerful, powerful day that we know is going to be taking place. In addition to that, we have concurrent a Young Women of Grace Day for our Young Women of Grace. They are going to learn, hear, and discover the awesome reality of who they are as women, the awesome reality of their feminine identity. And we're going to equip them to meet the challenges of this our day and time that would seek to confuse them and pull them away from all that God intends for them to accomplish, all that He intends for them to experience, all of the abundant graces He has in mind for them to receive. So we certainly do want you to join us for that. March, we are going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I cannot wait for that either. That is my hometown. I am eager to get back in the Berg. That's where I was raised. That's where I was formed by the Religious Sisters. And in this 20th year of Women of Grace, I just wanted to return to my roots. And I am so grateful to Bishop Walderscheid, who is working hand in glove with us there to make this event happen. The information is for you at the website. And then, of course, this summer we're in Malvern. We are going to have a Benedicta Institute, our Enrichment Seminar Institute provision for you, working on the details of that so we can get it up on our website. Malvern is already being advertised, the general retreat that takes place there. So plan to join us somewhere, okay? Plan to join us somewhere. We want to be with you. Now, I also want to mention that today is the Feast of the Presentation of Our Lord in the Temple, or the Presentation. And Jeff reminded me on our break that, you know, in many of the European countries, this is the last day of Christmas. They celebrate Christmas all the way up until this feast day. And so Christmas decorations are coming down there, but guess what's going up? Guess what's going up in our heart? We're raising ourselves up in the arms of Mary, asking her to present us to our Lord Jesus Christ, asking her to present us to the Father, and asking her to present us to the Holy Spirit. And so often when I'm meditating upon that particular mystery of the joyful mysteries, it's the fourth one, you know, I like to just picture myself in the arms of Our Lady, and I just say, oh, Mother, you know, please just lift me up. Lift me up to the Father. Secure me in the Sacred Heart of Your Son. And ask your spouse, the Holy Spirit, to fill me to overflowing with His divine and holy gifts. We should pray all of the time that our Blessed Mother is ever presenting us to the throne of Father God, to the throne of the to the entirety of the Trinity, right? And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful feast day, and I hope that it is meaningful for you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is right. And then if you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985 is the way that you can join us. And of course, you can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Well, Jeff, I'm ready to go to the phone lines here, and we have Kara with us. Kara is a first-time caller, so you can, there we go. There's your virtual welcome bell, Kara. And you're in McKinney, Texas, listening to us via Guadalupe. So let's talk, honey. You've had a big, big suffering come into your life.
Yes, we have. On the 23rd of December, right before bed, I was just talking to my husband, and he had a massive heart attack in our bathroom. And I tried to save his life. I was doing CPR and chest compressions and dialing 911, and they weren't able to get his heartbeat back. And I buried my husband on our 8-year wedding anniversary on January 3rd.
Oh,
and we had his funeral, his funeral mass at the same parish at the same time, at the same date that we were married. We were married at 11 o'clock in the morning on January 3rd, and that's the same time I had his funeral.
Yes.
One moment I'm talking to him, and the next he's gone. And now I'm 37, and I'm a widow. And I'm in this house. I'm stuck in that house right now because there's an ice storm. Mm-hmm. I can't get out, and I'm scared, and I'm here by myself with my dogs. And I lost the love of my whole entire life. We were together for 14 years and never spent one day apart from each other.
Honey.
And I just can't believe it that that happened.
I know.
I'm in so much pain and so lonely. I just need your prayers, please. Pray for my husband's soul. He introduced me to Jesus. He's the one who brought me into the Catholic Church. He changed my life forever.
Kara, oh honey, my heart is breaking for you right now. It's just in pieces for you right now, and I understand the pain of losing someone that you love. I know that pain, and it's intense and it's real. And I am so grateful that you had such a good husband. I am so grateful that you experienced the depth of love that obviously the two of you shared. And I'm so glad that he loved you enough that he wanted the ultimate best for you, and he brought you into Holy Mother Church, who is here for you and desires to console you at this time. And so I'm just going to ask everyone listening right now, let's just join together as the church that Jesus Christ founded, right? As the people that he has formed and shaped according to the will of the Father. Let us just come together now in the name of our Savior Jesus. Let us just come together now before the Holy Spirit and before God the Father. And let us just now ask our Blessed Lady to be with Kara. And Mother, I'm just asking in this moment that you console your daughter, Kara, and not just for this moment, but for every moment that will follow this moment, Mother, that you will be beside her as her spiritual mother, obtaining from your spouse, the Holy Spirit, every spiritual blessing in the heavens that she needs, offering to Kara your solace, offering to Kara your consolation. And Mother, you know what it's like to lose someone you love so dearly. You lost Saint Joseph, and you lost our Lord. And Mother, yet through the power of your spouse, the Holy Spirit, you not only endured it, but you embraced it for the sake of the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, the church. Mother, you can provide Kara with your strength. You can provide her with your confidence in God. You can provide her with your trust. And in this moment, Mother, look at your daughter. She's frightened. She's frightened. And she's in this house, and there's an ice storm, and she can't get out. And she's suffering so, just suffering so. And so, Mother, I ask that you take your mantle and you wrap it around your daughter and you draw her close. No, dare I say, you draw her into your most immaculate heart, where she can sit there with you in the presence of the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and find everything that she needs to move forward in and through this moment. Father God, you promise us through the gift of your Son that you have only good intentions toward us. We have no reason to believe that we can understand why it is that you called her husband home at this young age, why it is that she, your daughter Kara, would be a widow at this time. But Father, we stand on Romans 8:28, and we know that you work all things to the good for those who are called according to your purposes. Right now, it's very hard for Kara to see the good. Her eyes and her heart so clouded by grief, tears, anguish, fear. But I know that you can dissipate all of that, Father, because nothing is impossible with you. And I know that the presence of the Holy Spirit is with her right at this very moment, helping her to begin to see the provision that is being made for her. I ask that she receive the courage that comes by way of that cardinal virtue of fortitude to step into this new moment as the step reveals itself to her. And you know, Kara, even as I pray that last part of this prayer, you know, what's coming to my mind is Jesus in that moment in sacred scripture when he arrives at the home of his friends, Martha and Mary, to have them tell him that his friend Lazarus is dead, and had he been there before, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus knew in his heart that Lazarus had died, of course. And he knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. But his grief over the loss of his friend was so great that he cried. Scripture says he wept. And you know, it's okay to weep. And in that moment, it was necessary for our Lord, in his humanity, to grieve the loss of his friend. And at this moment, Kara, it is necessary for you to grieve the loss of your husband. These are early, early days. And that grief is intense. But I do believe that just as Jesus brought Lazarus back to physical life, our Lord took your husband into the fullness of life. That in that moment of particular judgment, your husband saw him. And hope was realized. Hope was realized that his salvation was secured. Whether he gained entrance into heaven at that moment or needed to do a flyby over purgatory or needed for temporal punishment for sin to be remitted, nonetheless, he saw our Lord. And in seeing him, he felt a fullness of life that he never felt before. And that's a consolation for you too, to know that, yes, you are in pain and suffering mourning him, and yes, you should mourn him, and yes, this moment needs to happen, that you can then once again find consolation in the Lord. And also in the sweet knowledge that your husband has seen the face of Jesus. Just as Lazarus came out of that tomb and saw the face of his Savior Jesus, so has your husband. And in the weeks to come, the months to come, the years to come, I know God will take you deeply into that mystery. And you will find hope there and healing there. You'll always grieve him, honey. You will always grieve him. But the sting of the pain will be accompanied by a sweet joy in knowing that fullness of life awaited your husband and will await you too. You pray for him because I know that he's praying for you. Friends, we're going to be right back. 833-288-EWTN. That's the way that you can join us today. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you. Let me give you the toll-free number to use. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. Matt Kubensky will answer it. He'll get you up on the board. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. And Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will retrieve it and get it up on the air. I've been telling you about our upcoming event in Boca Raton, Florida. I'm inviting you to get to our website, register, and come and join us. Simply get out there to womenofgrace.com. You'll see it in the events. You'll see it up there in the slideshow. We want you to join us and for every other event, Pittsburgh in March and then in July up there at Malvern. Going to be in September back at Malvern with Jack, and we're going to be doing a marriage retreat. All the information is getting up there. It's going to be a very busy, active year for us. It is our 20th year of Women of Grace. It's our 20th birthday. So we're selling it. We're celebrating it big time. So we certainly do hope that you will join us at one of our events. Kara on the line here, and Kara's going through a very difficult time. She lost her husband on January 23rd after 8 years of marriage. She's a young woman, 37 years old. He was buried on their 8th wedding anniversary, January the 3rd, I believe, Kara told me. And we just prayed with her. And it occurs to me, you know, that many of you have lost loved ones, myself included, in that group. And we know what it's like to suffer. And so empathetically, we know what Kara's going through. And maybe you have some words of advice and counsel for her in addition to the ones that I've given her. So we'd love to hear from you. This is a day when we can really be present to someone who is suffering so deeply. So Kara, I want to bring you back live here with us. You're there. I want to read you a little something that is in a book that is called Love the Lord Thy God. It's written by a father, Lewis Collin. He's deceased, and I picked this book up at some used bookseller place. But I think that what I was sharing with you about your husband seeing the fullness of life in Christ Jesus, being brought to the fullness of life through him, is summed up beautifully in something that he writes there. And he talks about something similar to that. And he's talking about friendship with Jesus. And it's obvious to me that your husband had friendship with Jesus. And he brought you into friendship with Jesus. And that speaks yes. so well of him. And in this beautiful statement, you know, I think that it encapsulates maybe words that will bring you hope, that your life isn't over, that God has more for you. He's fitting all of this into his divine and holy plan. And did God intend for your husband to die at that moment? Those are questions that we'll never be able to answer in this life. But God is omniscient and he knows all things. And when he gives us life, he also knows the moment when he'll call us home to him. And sometimes it's the circumstances of this world that make good on that moment that God has determined will be our ultimate moment. But this is what Father writes in his book here. He says, "Let us live one life together, Jesus. Strive together, suffer together, pray together, love together." He goes on, "To become ever greater and greater friends with Jesus. That ought to be the sole object of our daily resolves and efforts until our last breath." And it sounds like that was the case for your husband, honey. And then he says, "Then and only then shall we understand and appreciate these words from the Imitation of Christ. Blessed is he that understands what it is to love Jesus and to despise himself for the sake of Jesus. We must quit what is beloved for the sake of the beloved. For Jesus will be loved alone and above all things. Love him and keep him for your friend. To be without Jesus is a grievous hell. To be with Jesus, a sweet paradise." And I want to stop there for just a moment, Kara. Whether your husband is in purgatory or whether he is in heaven, he is in a sweet paradise because Jesus is with him and will lead him to that ultimate heavenly abode that he has waiting for him. It says, "Whoever finds Jesus finds a good treasure, yes, a good above every good. And he that loses Jesus loses a very great deal, more even than the whole world. Without a friend, you cannot love well. And if Jesus be not your friend above all other friends, you shall indeed be sad and desolate. Of all, therefore, that are dear to you, let Jesus alone be your special beloved. Cleave to Jesus in life and in death." And I'm sure that was the case for your husband. And I'm sure that that is what our Lord intends for you and what your husband would want for you, to hold on to Jesus and receive the consolation that he wants to bring you.
My husband, he was the most God-loving, devout Catholic, holy man I've ever met. And He even named his business after St. Faustina, St. Faustina LLC. And he introduced me to Jesus. I was a Methodist. And I remember when I first met him, he tried right away to try to get me to be Catholic. And I said, no way, that's never going to happen. And here I am. There's being Catholic has just saved my life, and I'm a devout Catholic. And I was going to tell you, with Joseph's passing, this has changed my life. I read the Bible every day. I've been doing the rosary with my friend Phyllis. She calls me and we do the rosary together. We've done a novena for all the holy souls in purgatory, and I'm actually having a Gregorian Mass done for Joseph on May 1st through the 30th. I'm doing everything I can to, just in case he's in purgatory, because we got a puppy on the 29th of October, and he stayed home with the puppy while I went to Mass, and so he hadn't gone to Mass. He said, "Kira, you have to go for one of us," and so I was going, but he didn't go, and so that just breaks my heart.
Oh, sweetheart.
He didn't get to go to Mass, and I know I just worry for him because I hope God has mercy on him.
Well, listen, this is what we know. We know that God's mercy is abundant, that it's inexhaustible, and that it's infinite. We know that. And God looks at the totality of the human person. You know, and I don't know if you mean he didn't go to Mass daily or if you mean he didn't go to Mass on Sunday. My guess is that, pardon me?
It was on Sunday. He missed Sunday Mass for a month and a half that we had our puppy before he passed away. He stayed home and he said, "Kara, one of us has to go for the family." That's what he said. And I said, "You go for the family. I'll stay home with Bunny." But I know he didn't want to miss Mass. I know that he didn't. He loves the Lord so much. And
you know, Kara, let me tell you, Jesus told Saint Faustina, and here your husband had a deep devotion to this holy saint. Jesus told Saint Faustina that he gives every soul three chances. It's either three or five. I've heard both. I have to go back and read it in Divine Mercy. In her diary. But he gives a soul, let's say, three chances to say yes to him. And even if the soul glances in his direction, Jesus takes it for a yes. None of us knows what happens in that moment when the soul is separating from the body. We don't know. But my guess is this God who loves us so much, this Lord who's given his life for us, this Holy Spirit who wants to fill us with all good things. I'm fairly certain that there's those moments where Jesus looks at the soul and the soul looks at Jesus. And from the testimony of your husband's life and what you've shared, it would be, I think, very unlikely that he would say no to the Lord. The evil one wants to have us worrying about things that we need not worry about, so he can tie us up in knots. The other thing I want to share with you is that your prayers for him and the Gregorian Masses that you will have celebrated for him, they're efficacious. And God is outside of time and space. And so he takes all the prayers that we pray in time and he can apply them to the moment of our loved one's death. And the efficacy of those prayers can be activated right at that moment. And you're talking about the Mass, which is always in the eternal moment. So, you know, these are wonderful consolations. They're the very consolations that I believe the Holy Spirit gave to me when I lost my son. And my son was not practicing his faith at all when he died. And not long after his death, there was a mighty, mighty spirit of fear that tried to attack me and hold me captive. But I went back to the truths of the faith. I went back to the power of prayer. And to this day, my son is gone. 19 years this year it will be. To this day, I have a Mass celebrated for him on his anniversary day of every month of his death. God is a merciful and abundant God. And I'm certain that provision is being made for him. You know, only because he lived a good life, and by that I mean a faithful life. And we'll see what the Lord's up to.
Well, I have, I think I probably went overboard, but I have about 45 Masses said for him. That's with the Gregorian Mass. And actually, you know, I think why my heart is so troubled too, Jonna, is because, we used to listen to you every morning. He introduced me to you, actually. He introduced me to EWTN, and I listened to it from the moment my eyes open in the morning. I say, Alexa, turn on EW 910, tune in. That's what I say every morning. And yesterday, because we're having this horrible ice storm yesterday, no, I'm sorry, 2 days ago is the first day I wasn't able to visit my husband at the cemetery. I sit there every day at 3 o'clock, and I do the Divine Mercy Chaplet with him on the sidewalk, because his grave is right next to the sidewalk, and I do the Divine Mercy Chaplet with him. And I know he's not there. I know his soul's not there, but I'm hoping that he sees me going there and that he knows. Well, I think that's my hardest thing, is that I don't know if he can hear me, and I'm talking to him, and I'm praying for him, and I just would give anything to know that he can hear me.
Well, you know, and if you if you listen regularly, you know that one of my favorite quotes from St. John the 23rd is this: our loved ones are not separated from us, only invisible to us. And God permits the soul to hear what it is that God knows is good for the soul to hear. So my guess is you shouldn't worry about that either. You know, you are there. Yes, and I'm sure that your prayers are just beautiful and just efficacious from Kara. I've got a couple of little messages that came in through YouTube. Michael J. says, when I was going through a situation last year, my priest reminded me we can offer emotional suffering to Jesus just as much as physical suffering. That helped me. And this is a great holy spiritual principle, Michael, and I'm glad that you're sharing this today, because it's very, very true. The suffering that you're feeling, Kara, you can offer to God that very suffering for the sake of your husband's salvation, okay, for the sake of his purgation. So there is that. And then Jatina says, she too on YouTube, surrender to Jesus, ask him to take care of everything. I'm praying for Kara. So you have people out there now that are sharing in your travail and sharing in your suffering to, in some way, you know, alleviate some of it from you. We take it on. We make up in our own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. We also take upon ourselves the suffering of others for the sake of his body, the church, that they might receive the respite that they need and a little lessening to make it through the tough, tough time.
I'm so thankful for everyone who's praying for me, because prayers, that's all I ask for. When people ask me, Kara, what can I do for you? You know, they're at a loss for words, of course, and I just say, please pray for me. Pray for my husband's soul.
Yes.
So that's all I ask, and I'm very grateful. Thank you for talking with me today.
Oh, honey, you've blessed me. It's a privilege and a great, great joy. To be able to enter into this moment with you. And I'll continue to pray for you, Kara. And anytime you get really, really low, you know, you call in again and we'll pray, okay?
I sure will. And also, could you tell me one more time the name of the book? I would like to get that book that you mentioned.
Yeah, see if you can find it. It's called Love the Lord Thy God. And it's written by Lewis, Louis, and I'm going to say Colin, Colin. And, you know, this is you might find it online through a used bookseller. I don't know that there's any recent publication or republication of it. And this was published, let me just check really quickly for you and for everybody else that's listening. My guess is that you would love this book. It's, what is the year on this? 1958. So it tells you it's a good old book. A beautiful one. I've had it on my shelf for a very long time. And recently I just saw it there and it was like, okay, pull that off the shelf. And I've been taking it with me into my time of prayer. And it's been very, very beneficial for me.
Well, thank you. Because I knew I needed to call you, because I know the sufferings that you've dealt with your son. And also you lost your husband, I know. I knew my friend Phyllis. She's my marriage sponsor, our marriage sponsor. She's been such a blessing to me. She prays with me. We do the rosary and the novena together. And she said, Johnette would be a perfect person to speak to. Here I am.
Well, you know what? Why don't you just stay on the line here? Because we have Carol with us, and she's in St. Louis, Missouri. And she has something that she wants to share. So we'll bring her up.
That's where my husband is from.
Oh, no kidding. Well, see, already little signs from heaven. Little signs from heaven. Hey, Carol, welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I was a cradle Catholic, and my husband also. And we weren't really into our faith. We just practiced what we needed to do. And he found Christ before I did, and he passed away when I was 50. Oh. And I know that God wanted me to find him, and it's been 13 years, and never when I was so deeply grieving did I think that I would encounter Christ, but I did, and it's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. My life has changed. I'm not the same person I was when I was married to him, to Bob, but I know Bob is in heaven. And I know through this peace from Christ that I've changed, he's changed my life, and that he has accepted Bob. I just know. It's just a feeling I can't describe. And it took me probably 3 years and an ACTS retreat. And I can't say enough about the ACTS retreat, because that's where I encountered Christ on a deep, deep, deep level.
Okay.
And I feel Bob with me, and I felt him on the retreat with me. So, you know, he's not gone. He's just invisible. That's mm-hmm. so true.
It is true. And you know, something that happened with me, Carol, and Kara, I think that this, you know, you might already be experiencing this, but, you know, after my son died and then my late husband was taken too, I discovered that we don't stop loving, you know, the ones that we've loved. As a matter of fact, love can grow. It grows in a new way. And so there is that reality of the memory of them. But there's also a sense of a present reality with them. It's quite different, you know, than the reality that we knew in this life. And so I want to encourage you, you know, to continue, Kara, to be open to the way in which the Holy Spirit wants to work in you. And another thing, Carol, I think that is also very consoling for anyone listening today is this, that God works good out of all things. He tells us that. And he doesn't use, like, you know, St. Paul writes, and it's for God works all things to the good. It's not a few things or everything except tragic things. No, he'll work all of them to the good. We need to keep our eyes open, as you have done, Carol. And Kara, I know as you are doing as well, we need to keep our eyes open to the good that God's working. And that's why that examine prayer at night before we, you know, drift off to sleep is so important, to go through and to see all of the blessings that God's given to us, and then to go through and see all of the blessings that we missed because we didn't pay attention, or, you know, to look at the ways in which we offended God through sin, and then, you know, to allow that moment of restoration to come as we close our eyes, but to see, you know, to keep your eyes open, Kara. Already, Carol, you calling in from St. Louis, Kara, your husband being from St. Louis, you know, I don't believe in coincidence at all. I just think that these things are orchestrated by the Holy Spirit to give us hope, to keep us moving forward.
God moments. They're God moments.
They are. They are. And I'm sure, Carol, every day you see them. And Kara, you know, you're seeing them too through the beauty and the goodness of your friend Phyllis, through, you know, this radio family that is ours through Women of Grace, all of these people praying for you right now. And you can tell the Lord, hey, I'm calling down those prayers. I'm calling down Carol's prayers for me. I'm calling down, you know, I'm calling down Gatina's prayers for me. I'm calling down Michael's prayers for me, you know, calling down Johnette's prayers for me and the prayers of all of the listeners. And the benefit of them will be there for you, okay?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us, Karen. Again, that invitation is open. And Carol, I'm so happy that you called in to offer this word of consolation for Kara. And I'm just so delighted that, you know, what was a good thing God worked out of your husband Bob's passing? He's brought you into a whole new dynamic relationship with our Lord, but then also with Bob by way of our Lord, and how it is that you're moving forward in time.
Yes, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Oh, well, thank you, you two beautiful ladies in the Lord. And, you know, I'm so grateful for all of you out there who have listened to Kara's Travail today and Carol's witness. And I'm glad that you have been such a support to them throughout this time. And I'm going to ask you to continue to keep Kara very close to your heart as you move through the day. And Carol, too. And for all of those who have lost loved ones, right? We know that this has been a very difficult time, time of healing. For so many in the aftermath of COVID and for so many deaths that seem to be just occurring out of nowhere right now. But God's got a plan and he's working it to the good. And that's what we all hold on to. Well, friends, it's been great being with you today. Once again, I want to invite you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. See our upcoming events. Join us if you can come to Boca. Healing the wounds of the heart. I'm telling you, it's going to be a remarkable day in the Lord. Counting on your prayers for that day. And if you can come, please, please do. We'll be back again with you tomorrow. More coming your way via Women of Grace. So stay tuned to our website and stay tuned to our program. We love you now. Bye-bye.